Welcome back to 40 Minute Mentor, the business podcast on a mission to make mentorship accessible to everyone. Whether you're just beginning your career, are a startup founder building a rocket ship, or you're just in need of some fresh career inspiration, this show is designed to cover everything from the ground up in just 40 minutes. So let's dive in. Since starting the podcast back in 2019, we've released over 70 episodes and featured a broad array of brilliant and inspiring leaders, including 10 exited founders, 2 Olympic gold medalists, 1 double unicorn founder, and 9 have been honoured by the Queen, including 1 Knight of the Realm in Sir Clive Woodward. Ahead of launching Series 7 in February, which I'm very excited about, we thought we'd bring you a special Where Are They Now mini-series in which we bring back some previous 40 Minute Mentors to hear what they've been up to since they first appeared on the pod. Today's first episode is with one of the very first guests on 40 Minute Mentor and someone who has a very special connection to JBM, our board advisor, multi-award-winning environmental entrepreneur, and my very good friend, Cressy Wesling, CBE. In this episode, Cressy shares the brilliant journey Elvis and Cressy have been on since 2019 and tells us why they're building a one-of-a-kind regenerative farm in Kent. Every conversation I have with Cressy is inspiring, and this really didn't disappoint. We discuss why now is the time for all of us to be environmentally focused, and she shares some top tips on how each of us can reduce waste in our day-to-day lives. Plus, if that's not enough, she also shares the story behind the names of their pet goats. So, with all that said, please sit back and enjoy this very special episode of 40 Minute Mentor with the brilliant Cressy Wesling, CBE. Cressy, welcome back to the 40 Minute Mentor. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm all good. I'm boosted up and ready to go.
Yeah, we both got our boosters today, so I think we're feeling quite like superheroes. Totally immune from everything.
Exactly. Well, this is extra special for me because you were one of the very first guests on 40 Minute Mentor. Not only are we great friends, but also you are a board advisor to JBM. So it's always an extra special pleasure to have you on the pod. And I know a lot has happened since we last had a conversation on the podcast. So obviously the world has changed a lot, but also for yourself and Elvis and Cressy. So should we start with, for those that didn't listen to the first pod, can you give us a snapshot of what Elvis Cressy is all about as a business? And for those that are listening again, fill us in on what's happened since 2019.
Okay, so who we are is a business that rescues materials as its MO. You know, all we ever want to do is prevent material from going to landfill. And we do that, I suppose, in a particularly creative way. We rescue materials, we then transform them into beautiful things, and then we give 50% of the profits to charity. So the material that we're the most famous for, I would say, is London's damaged decommissioned fire hoses. We turn those into a range of bags, belts, and wallets. Pretty cool overnight bags, weekend bags, travel accessories. And then 50% of the profits from that go to the firefighters' charity. And I think we've donated over £200,000 to that particular beneficiary in the last, let's say, 16 years or so since we've been running.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, you know, I am one of your biggest fans. And the JBM team are fully kitted out with Elvis and Cressy staff, so I hope anyone listening to this will get online and check it out. But it's also been a kind of a really interesting couple of years since you last came on the podcast. So how has the business evolved in that time?
I think this is actually going to be one of the most interesting stories for me, not to just, I suppose, be a protagonist in, but also to retell in years to come, because to a certain extent we have no idea what we're doing, but we're doing something huge. I think companies need to evolve very rapidly now, specifically to deal with 2 existential threats. One is climate change, the other is biodiversity loss. And the historical way of businesses dealing with these issues has been to pretend they're not happening. The sustainable way, or the sort of more modern way of dealing with these issues, is to either innovate and look for solutions, or to offset, you know, pay someone else basically to clear your conscience somewhere else. And the Elvis and Cressy way is kind of a hybrid there, because we effectively want to become 100% net regenerative by 2030. So there's a lot of businesses saying they're going to be, you know, net zero with respect to carbon by 2030 or 2025, or, you know, the UK government saying things like 2050, which is just appalling and obnoxious given the fact that 2050 is way too long to put that on the agenda. But we want to tackle it quickly. And for us, the reason to go net regenerative is that, well, A, you know, we're close to that anyway. So why not push the boundary of everything we've ever dreamed we could do? And when the pandemic first started, we went for a bunch of long walks. You know, everyone was sent home for a couple of weeks, and we had all of our workshop team out. We tried to fit sewing machines through people's doors. We completely re-choreographed how we manufactured everything. We thought business would just trail off entirely, but actually business picked up because we're primarily an online business and a lot of people wanted to spend money, you know, in a considered way, in an ethical way. And that only benefits a brand like ours. So these long walks became a time to go, well, all these dreams we've ever had, why are we waiting till we retire to put them into action? All of these things that we think we might not be able to do, but we need to do, why don't we just do them now? And instead of, I suppose, hibernating during the pandemic, we went on this almost kind of assault, like, let's just get all this stuff done. And the two projects that we really got done were, we had started working on the idea of a solar-powered microforge to turn littered aluminium cans, of which there are 16 million going into our public spaces every year, into our hardware. And over the course of the pandemic, we built a forge. I mean, it was kind of this crazy dream I had. And it works. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, I went into Queen Mary University, where our unbelievable academic team is based, and I cast my first piece. And it was appalling because, of course, I don't know how to cast metal. But the forge works, and it's going to start, you know, becoming a feature of our product line. And to me, the most important epic thing about that is that it's open source technology. We didn't want to spend a lot of time designing a machine that would be exclusive to us. We don't want to sell these machines. We want people to build them themselves, iterate on them, use them to innovate and solve waste challenges where they are. And yes, so we've designed with Queen Mary a solar-powered microforge. It can be built anywhere in the world for $500. And there you go. It's fantastic. And no one comes in contact with molten metal, so it's safe to use. And no one comes in contact with fumes. And no one uses fossil fuels to run it, so it's kind of perfect. So that was one thing. And the second thing was, we wanted to move to a farm. We wanted to move the business to a farm. We wanted to do a regenerative agriculture project. You know, Regen Ag is, if you haven't been hearing about Regen, trust me, get on the regenerative agriculture podcasts. It is where everybody is moving to. It's like sustainability plus plus, and it's where all the cool kids are hanging out. If by the cool kids, you mean all the environmental geeks, which I do. And we thought, you know, I thought we would be farmers when we retired, but thank goodness we did it now because it's hard work. And I don't think I could start doing this level of physical labor at 65, 44, no problem. So we bought a farm. We moved our business here. We got planning permission to build a workshop, which is in construction now, that's built out of straw bales. It'll be passive design, will not require any fossil fuels to heat it. It's going to be powered by solar. We studied the soil. We found out really terrible and wonderful things about the soil. The soil that we have on this farm, we have like 1 inch of topsoil because people before us ran a turf cutting business and sold it, you know, which is basically crime of the century. And that's a terrible thing. But it's also a wonderful opportunity for people like us because regenerative agriculture means your goal is to build soil health. It is to increase topsoil. It is to sequester carbon into the soil. And you do that by upping the amount of topsoil and upping the amount of microorganisms. So we started with 3% microorganisms, and we think we can hit 50%. Okay, so this is what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives. And we're going to do that, like our main crop is going to be grapes. So we're planting in the first week of April, 11,668 vines. And we are never going to use pesticides. We are never going to use fertilizers. We are never going to till the soil. We are never going to plow. We are going to follow every single biodynamic, organic, and regenerative practice and really prove that you can have a high yield, high profit farm without caving to the chemical warfare that's been going on in industrialized agriculture for so long. And we will not be polluting the watershed. In fact, the first thing we built, which I think James has seen, is our sewage treatment system, which is the most beautiful sewage treatment system in the world. And everything we do, you know, we're doing agroforestry, we're planting thousands of trees, we're running sheep in the vineyard, which is basically a collaboration between us and the sheep to fertilize the soil and provide these wonderful Dorper sheep with an amazing lifestyle. You know, so it's just cool. But the farm is designed to become a biodiversity hotspot and a place to sequester carbon. And it will help us on our net regenerative journey. And without the pandemic, I don't think we would have had the mental headspace to say yes to this crazy dream and also to listen to, I don't know, probably thousands of hours of podcasts about soil health. And that's why we're here. So yeah, lots have changed.
Love it.
So we're still making handbags.
Yes, I was going to say, and you still are, and you're very much running the business and the business is going incredibly well. But just like the superhuman you and Elvis are, you're embarking on this incredible adventure. And I've had the pleasure of going to the farm and it is stunning and ginormous and brilliant. And I am so excited for you. I guess there are going to be people listening to this that run businesses who will be thinking, you're crazy. Like, why would you take on a challenge when you've got this already very successful business that's running and it obviously takes a lot of time? How are you managing to balance all those things? And what would you say to somebody that really wants to do some good when it comes to environment, but it maybe feels like this would be way too overwhelming? How do you inspire them to take action?
Most businesses diversify at some point anyway. You know, there are very few businesses that are single product businesses or single service businesses that don't over time adapt to lots of interesting different things. I think it's either Renault or Vauxhall. No, I think it's Renault, who started by making washing machines and then they were making pencils and then they started making cars. Like, over the course of the history of that family business, they did loads of different things. If you look at the luxury world, if you look at the LVMH group, for example, they make champagne, they make shoes, they do lots of different kinds of things. They are a diversified portfolio. And why shouldn't we do that? Why shouldn't anyone consider doing that? And my rationale for diversification is different. My rationale is the climate imperative and the biodiversity imperative. And I think that those are the imperatives that should be shared by all entrepreneurs right now. If you're going to diversify, if you're going to bother to take on this extra stress, why do it unless it's to save our butts? Why do it unless it's for future generations? You know, pick an animal that you love. Pick an animal that is losing habitat, like a barn owl, and put your energy into that. Because there are these beautiful creatures that need someone to stand up for them. Pick a frog. You know, nobody picks frogs, but amphibians are incredible. We need to all take a stand about something. And unfortunately for Elvis, I've chosen to take a stand about everything and try and fold that all into one business. You don't have to be as crazy as we are, but now is the time to be environmentally focused.
I couldn't agree more. And I know that there are going to be people listening to this inspired to take action off the back of it. And I am very excited about where the farm's going to go and the business in the years ahead. Before we move on to the next question, you've got to tell our listeners the names of your goats.
Actually, this is potentially going to be a sad story because the goats are leaving on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So we're building a herd of sheep here for very specific reasons, because the sheep are spectacularly good at running in a vineyard and fertilizing the soil and eating in the grasses. They're great. Goats will eat the vines. So in the long term, the goats can't stay here. But actually, the goats are bullies to the sheep. They're really, really mean. So we found a wonderful place that loves goats and is taking the goats to their small holding. So that's happening on Saturday. But when we arrived, there was 5 creatures here, 4 goats and a sheep. And goats, the acronym for goats is greatest of all time. So we called our goats Tiger, Wayne, Phil, and Roger. And then we called our lovely sheep Serena. And Serena is staying. But the boys, who are all girls with boys' names, they're all going on Saturday morning.
And a little quiz for anyone listening to this. Notes on a postcard in terms of who those famous sports goats are. We won't give it away, on the podcast. Thank you, Cressy. When we last spoke on 40 Minute Mentor, you shared some really amazing advice on how we can all play our part to reduce waste and live more sustainable lives. The holidays are coming up. We're recording this close to Christmas. What advice do you have for any of our listeners looking to reduce the amount of waste produced over the festive season and into 2022?
So we know that there's so many different kinds of waste, right? There's wasted objects, and then you have to think of the embedded carbon, the embedded water, and all of those things. So I wouldn't buy a gift for someone unless it's something that really means a lot to you, to them, or it's something that someone needs. And I would always look for something that's vintage or secondhand first. So she won't be listening to this, but Elvis's mother, we bought her a vintage pair of earrings. There was a kind of style of earrings she's always wanted and she's never had. And we found a vintage pair. You know, we found a pair on eBay from a secondhand jewelry store. And I think that's a great way to go. But also think about time being wasted. You know, with COVID, one of the recommendations that Chris Whitty made last night was that we should think about limiting our interactions to the people we really care about. And I thought that's a wonderful metaphor for life, isn't it? You should spend time on the projects that are really meaningful to you, and you should spend time with the people you love. And those should, not just in a time of COVID, those should always be our priorities, because there's a lot of noise that otherwise you think, oh, I have to do this and I have to do that. And actually, if you think about over the course of the pandemic, you know, we prioritized seeing each other. We spent some time together. We prioritized seeing our closest friends and our family. And that's, I think, why everybody's stayed safe. And why don't we continue that way? Why don't we continue to prioritize the people we love?
Love that.
Don't do business travel. Do travel to see family.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's very, very true. I think the simpler things in life are the most important. And I think the pandemic has really rammed that home. And hopefully we can all learn from that in a post-COVID world whenever we get to it. Thank you, Cressy. That's such an important point. And heading into 2022, in terms of looking at everyone that's listening to this, their agendas, climate crisis, you know, it is so obvious, yet still there is so much work to be done. And I know you are really a huge activist in that space, and you always talk so brilliantly. For those listening to this that want to do more, are there any particular things that they can do actionably next year in 2022 to help the climate crisis?
Yes. The first thing you can do is not to let the scale of the problem paralyze you, because that's what's been happening so far. It's such a huge problem that people have felt like only governments can solve it, only enormous businesses can solve it. I need to step away from it. Actually, everyone needs to step up to the plate. And you can read, Catherine Hayhoe, she's got a great Twitter account. She's a great climate educator. You can dip into her feeds and try and understand what the crisis actually looks like. There's an amazing book called Project Drawdown, which was, I think, co-authored by Bill McKibben. And it talks about all the things you can do to mitigate climate change, the things that we can do. One of them is educate young women. So if education is a cause you're passionate about, educating young women all over the world will help us with climate mitigation. If you're into wind energy, start investing in wind. You know, and you can do that with £5. You can do that with £10. It doesn't have to be huge amounts of money. Just start researching the problem and find your way in, because it's not a problem that can be solved with one technological silver bullet by one person. It's something that we all have to culturally get to grips with and solve in our own way. And then collectively, humanity can save itself, but only if it's a collective effort.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cressy. And final question is going to be about the future of Elvis and Cressy. You've got so many exciting things on the horizon. What are you most looking forward to in 2022?
I'm looking forward to getting the vines in the ground and getting the workshop finished, so that as we hopefully come out of the pandemic, this place can be what we want it to be, which is a hub for people to come and learn about regenerative agriculture, about upcycling, about straw bale building techniques, about renewable energy, about, you know, wetland systems for sewage treatment. This place is designed to be kind of a mecca for people who want to learn and change. And that's the adventure that's on the cards for 2022. Also, you know, we're planting 2,000 trees. So anyone who comes, we're going to hand you a shovel. We're going to get you to work. We're going to make you plant something.
Well, the JVM team are already going to be very much down there as soon as you need us, ready to help. And I'm also looking forward to the wine when it's ready in a few years' time as well. That's an added benefit.
Yes, us too.
Cressy, always an absolute pleasure and a joy to talk to you. I know our listeners will, this will be just the inspiration needed to kickstart 2022. And we all wish you all the best for the months and years ahead, because it's going to be a very exciting time for you, I think.
Yeah, it will be.
Thank you, Cressy. Cheers.
Did you guess who the goats were named after? If you did, make sure you head to JBM's LinkedIn page and drop your guesses in the comments section of our episode post. Having been to Cressy and Elvis's regenerative farm and met their goats, I honestly cannot describe how amazing it is, and I can't wait to follow the development through 2022 and beyond. If you haven't listened to Cressy's original episode from Series 1, make sure you tune in straight after this one. We'll also leave links to Elvis and Cressy in the show notes, because not only are their products incredible, but 50% of their profits go to environmental charities. So buying from them really is a win-win, and the JBM team love it. Thank you all so much for listening to this special episode of 40 Minute Mentor, and make sure you come back next week when we catch up with another incredible mission-driven founder whose first business is one of the fastest growing edtechs in the world. Any guesses who it might be? See you then.